One of the meanings for Lent, which I rather like, is Holy, Holy Spring. In Dutch and also in Afrikaans, in South Africa, where we come from, in fact, spring is Lente. Except in South Africa, Lent is not in spring. That's in the wrong hemisphere. But Lent is a time for spiritual spring cleaning, isn't it? A time of preparing and turning our lives anew as we set our eyes on the cross and on Christ's journey to the cross. It's a time in which we are encouraged to follow Jesus more fully, and hence the idea of fasting, of maybe giving something up for Lent to remind us that our ultimate trust is not in ourselves, in our physical, material makeup, but our ultimate trust is in Christ. Speaking of giving things up, there's a story told about a man who was rather overweight and who decided to cut out the pastries that he usually bought on his way to work. He even took a different route to work so that he wouldn't go past his favorite bakery. And for quite a few weeks, he was doing pretty well. But then one day, his colleagues at work were rather disappointed to see him arriving at work with his box of pastries. And he proceeded to explain the reason. He said, "This morning I was coming to work, and just by habit, I took my old route to work past that favorite bakery. And I thought maybe that was a sign from God. So I asked God to confirm the sign by giving me a parking space right outside the bakery. And lo and behold, the fifth time I drove around the block, there it was." Temptation tends to have negative connotations, doesn't it? But that's not how the Bible generally sees it. In the Scripture, it's more about testing than about tempting. If you think about Abram, when he was asked to sacrifice his son, it was more a testing of his devotion and his loyalty rather than a temptation to kill Isaac. It's rather like when metal is tested to see if it will achieve the purpose for which it has been made. It's not to try and prove its weakness, but rather to confirm its strength. And so, too, temptation is not so much to make us bad, but to make us better. Not to make us weaker, but to make us stronger. And we can turn what may be something negative, what may be a temptation from Satan, we can turn into something good that makes us come out better on the other side. Apparently, there are no dangerous creatures in New Zealand, except for their rugby players. But it's also the home of more flightless birds than any other country in the world. And it seems that there's a connection between these two. The birds there have never needed to fly away from predators. And so in time, they lost their ability to do so. Temptation makes us, in a sense, exercise our spiritual wings. It's not all negative. Something that the evil one might intend for bad can be used for good. The other principle I want to speak about comes out of the actual temptations of Jesus. And it's the principle regarding means and ends, and about the ends justifying or not justifying the means to that end. The devil presents Jesus with some attractive ends, doesn't he? Attractive outcomes. But the means that he suggests to get to them are not justifiable as far as Jesus is concerned. He begins by saying to Jesus, in effect, if you're hungry, satisfy your hunger. After all, you're God's son. You should take advantage of your position to benefit yourself. But Jesus knows that this isn't the way that he is going to order his life and his ministry. He won't allow his bodily desires to determine his behavior. He would rather trust his Father to provide what he needs and when he needs it. And then Satan also says, you want to impress people and draw the crowds to follow you, don't you? What better way than by jumping off the pinnacle of the temple and falling below unhurt and making the headlines? And indeed, Jesus did want to draw people to hear his message and to follow him, but not for the wrong reasons. The reasons that the devil was proposing could not be justified, even if the outcome was the same end that Jesus had in mind. And then finally, Satan says to Jesus, you want to be king and ruler of the world, don't you? Just bow down to me and you can have your wish. Again, the end was what Jesus wanted. He wanted the allegiance and the devotion of all humanity. But the means to get there was through the cross and not through some shortcut with the devil's help. And so for the Christian, the end, no matter how good it may be, can never justify the means to that end if those means are in any way counter to God's will and God's ways. Can I say that again? For the Christian, the end, no matter how good it may be, can never justify the means if those means are in any way counter to God's will and God's ways. You're no doubt familiar with the practice of many evangelists in inviting people to commit their lives to Christ, and they ask the people to close their eyes and then to raise a hand as an indication of their desire to follow Jesus. And that's fine, but I know of at least a couple of preachers who will say, thank you, I see that hand, I see that hand. Meanwhile, there are no hands that are being raised. The preacher's only saying that to make people feel a bit easier about raising their hands, knowing that they won't be the only ones doing so. You see, the end is very commendable, seeking to bring people to a commitment to Jesus. But even such a good end doesn't justify a means that is less than honest and honorable. But we ourselves can do something similar if we encourage people to follow Jesus, but maybe use the wrong means. For example, doing it with threats of hellfire if they refuse. Or maybe hiding the fact that following Jesus may well involve sacrifice and difficulties along the Christian path. And rather just present the Christian life as a bed of roses. What if some more common everyday examples? I think of something as simple as trying to get a child to behave themselves and saying to them, if you don't stop misbehaving, we're not going on holiday. Now, the end is fair enough, trying to get the child to behave themselves. But the means really isn't justified, is it? Because we know very well, and probably the child knows also very well, that we're not going to cancel our holiday if the child continues misbehaving. Another more, perhaps more serious example, let's say someone is desperate to to get a certain job in order to provide a better life for their spouse and children. And that is obviously a noble aim. But in order to increase their chance of getting the job, they lie about something in their CV. The end is good, but that does not justify such means of accomplishing it. And so as followers of Jesus, we can not only think about the end result, no matter how good that may be. We need to make sure that the means of getting there are also good and honorable. If not, I think it means, in effect, that we're not trusting God for the best outcome. Rather, we feel we need to take things into our own hands. In effect, we are saying to the Lord, I'm not sure I can trust you to bring this outcome about. So let me just take charge of this. And we face temptations like this day by day in smaller and bigger ways. Temptations to take the shortcut, as Jesus was tempted to do. To take the easiest path to achieve some purpose. To take the route which we feel will guarantee the outcome that we desire. Lent invites us to journey with Jesus along the road to Calvary. It was a road that Jesus could have avoided, that he could have avoided at this point or right at the end at the Garden of Gethsemane. But he chose not to. And he invites us also on that road of obedience, of integrity, of truth and light, even though it may be a difficult one at times. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, because the gate of destruction is wide and the road that leads to it is easy. And there are many who travel it. But the gate to life is narrow, and the way that leads to it is hard. And there are few people who find it. The good news, though, is that as we choose that narrow road, we have a fellow traveler who is beside us every step of the way. One who will say to us one day, well done, good and faithful servant, come and share in the joy of your master. Amen.